Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
What up, Cavs Nation? I'm your host, Ethan Sands, and I'm back with another episode of the Wine and Gold Talk Podcast. It's another solo dolo episode as Chris weathers the storm that is this schedule, but I'm going to get into tonight's matchup against the Charlotte Hornets. Yes, it is the Charlotte Hornets. Yes, they only have 17 wins this season, but the Cavaliers needed a bounce back game after what happened in Miami, and they got an all-around effort from almost everybody on this team. You have Evan Mobley in just his second game back after returning from ankle injury, having 17 points, 8 assists, and 7 rebounds. Then you got Jared Allen with 17 points and 13 rebounds. He has been a monster on the glass for the Cavs as of late, and recorded his 36th double-double of the season. That is tied for the 14th most double-doubles in a season for a Cavalier. Allen is also the 11th player in Cavs history with 36 or more double-doubles in a season. And those are just the big guys. But I think we have to start there, because they were able to assert their presence on the interior and make things hard for the Charlotte Hornets. And when Jared and Evan playing back together, we got to see the big-on-big action that we've been looking forward to this season, because those two guys have increased their assist numbers this entire year. We've gotten to see them pass the ball and being used as offensive hubs rather than just giving them the ball and expecting them to go directly to the basket. J.B. Bickerstaff has asked more of these guys to allow them to not only run the offense, but to create for others when things look difficult in the paint. Because obviously, Jared Allen and Evan Mobley require a lot of attention for opposing defenses. And when the defenses swarm them, they have to be able to make the decision to dish out and create opportunities for their teammates, which they've been able to do. I mean, Jared Allen had 4 assists tonight, but that doesn't account for the plays that created an assist for a different player because of where he was standing on the floor. And then obviously Evan Mobley with a career-high 8 assists tonight. That just shows how he has grown in his passing game this season and what the Cavs can look forward to use him as a hub like the Denver Nuggets use Nikola Jokic. Maybe not to that standard as of yet, but it can grow into that process, because we know that the Cavs are still waiting for Evan Mobley to take another step in his entire game, and that is a part of it. His passing game, his shot, those two things are the things that they need him to grow in the most for him to become the complete player that they know he can be. And Jared Allen shows yet again that he is comfortable working with Evan Mobley in the lineup and being able to throw lobs and facilitate to him as well, working with big on big action, which is really exciting to see in today's game that is going away from the big man. But you can't talk about interior presence and the presence of players at all without talking about Marcus Morris Sr. and what he did for the Cavs in the second quarter. Yes, we don't condone violence on this podcast. Yes, Marcus Morris even talked about that he wasn't trying to hurt the player, but this was a game that the Cavs did not look like they were playing to their potential in the first quarter, and even into the second quarter before this happened. Marcus Morris Sr. had just hit a three-pointer for his first bucket of the game, and then came down and asserted his presence on the interior on the defensive end by putting an elbow into the chest of an opposing team's player, into a Charlotte Hornets player who looked like he was trying to go for a lob, which Marcus Morris has mentioned that he is trying to assert the rule, no dunking allowed, which is an old veteran move. And it takes me back to like the Bad Boy Pistons era and when nothing easy was allowed for opposing players. And I'm going to say this, I miss that era because like J.B. Bickerstaff, I am a defense heavy person. I love that the game is growing and the players are able to shoot the ball at a high clip. But I am happy that now refs are starting to let plays go more for the defensive side. They are calling less fouls on the defense for being physical, and that has been something that we've noticed this season, and that is just allowing for the defense to play hard. Marcus Morris, who's only been here for a couple games, even talked about this a couple games ago, about how he's noticed that the game is starting to change, or even just leveling the playing field, which he said allows him to just play physical. And this isn't the first time we've seen Marcus Morris put somebody on the floor for the Cavs. And it's something that the Cavaliers need. The Cavs have been called everything but nice things when it comes to how they are handling things this season. They've been called soft. They've been called broken glass. They've been called all the things. But Marcus has mentioned on multiple occasions that he is going to be the guy to set the tone. If he needs to put somebody on the floor in every game and they're going to respond like the way that they did tonight, then he is willing to do that. And for somebody who has playoff experience and knows that they will be going up against Eastern Conference bigs, talking about Joel Embiid, talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo, talking about Paolo Banchero, talking about Pascal Siakam, talking about Julius Randle, talking about all of those guys who the Cavs could potentially see, Marcus wants to enforce the notion that the Cavs are not one to be trifled with. And I think everybody wanted to see that tonight. Everybody has been waiting for somebody to do that. And obviously Tristan Thompson has been one of those guys for the Cavs, but since he was out for 25 games, he hasn't had that opportunity to do so. Marcus came in and said, I'm going to be that guy from the jump. Tristan even mentioned post-game to me personally that he came into the league with Marcus at the same draft class. So he's understood his game. He played against him when Tristan was at Texas and Marcus was at Kansas. So he knows his game. And what Tristan told to me that stuck out was that Marcus is somebody that you can go to war with. And that playoff experience is going to help him only help the Cavaliers further, especially for the guys who have not had that experience yet. And J.B. Bickerstaff, who was an old head favorite and likes that kind of roughneck defensive style and all of those things, mentioned that that was the turning point in the game. And it really was, because the Cavaliers went on to score 6 more three-pointers for the remainder of that quarter, and that changed the trajectory of that game. They scored 31 points in the second quarter, and that really just snowballed itself for the rest of the game. They scored 27 in the third quarter and 37 in the fourth quarter. And that's what I want to get into. The Cavs were able to work outside in the first half, it seemed like, specifically in the second quarter. And then in the third quarter, they came out and put the ball in Darius Garland's hands and allowed him to facilitate. He had 4 of his 10 assists in that third quarter alone. And it was just beautiful basketball. He was making no-look dimes. He was doing things that only Darius is capable of doing with the ball in his hands. And the biggest thing that I took away from even before the game started was how J.B. Bickerstaff looked at this game. And he said that it was not only a mental test game, but that the team wanted to play with joy again. Obviously, it's easier, like I've always said, it's easier to play with joy when you're winning, but they wanted to just play the game with fun and with joy and with happiness. And Darius Garland is probably the biggest person that they look for in that area. If he's in high spirits, then everybody else is going to continue to take that way. And even the coaching staff understood that they have to come in each day with that kind of mindset because they are the first people that the players see on a daily basis. So pregame, these guys were out there doing dunks that they've never done. You had Tristan Thompson, Jared Allen shooting half-court shots and things of that nature. And Isaac Okoro even said post-game that J.B. Bickerstaff showed the Cavs team a TikTok that got them motivated and in a good mood before the game. Isaac didn't specify what the TikTok was, but that's just funny to me that they are trying everything they can to not only stay motivated throughout this grueling stretch, but to continue to have fun. And I've always preached that through the entire time that I've been on this podcast, that the happiness and the joy has always been when this team has played to its best. And J.B. Bickerstaff said just that after the game as well.
I want to get into that more after the break. But before then, become a Cavs insider and interact with me and Chris by subscribing to Subtext. Sign up for a 14-day free trial or visit cleveland.com/Cavs and click on the blue bar at the top of the page. If you don't like it, that's fine. All you have to do is text the word stop. It's easy. But we can tell you that the people who sign up stick around, because this is the best way to get insider coverage on the Cavs from Chris and me. We'll be right back.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Even with the scoring that the Cavs did tonight and how they were able to jump off the scoreboard in the last three quarters, we have to always look back to what their defense was able to do. This is the 13th team this season that the Cavs have been able to hold under 100 points, and it's their identity. It's something that they have to rely on, even if they are scoring the ball well, because in the playoffs, there are going to be times where they struggle. There are going to be teams that cause them trouble on the offensive end, but if they are able to contain the opposing team on the offensive end, then that makes those games that much closer and that much more winnable. So I know people are going to look at the box score and people are going to say Brandon Miller had 24 points and Miles Bridges had 13 points, but you have to look at how they scored. They had to get their shots up to try and force the Hornets back into this game. And this is a point that I forgot to mention about Darius Garland is when Sam Merrill hit the second three that he made in the fourth quarter and the Charlotte Hornets had to call a timeout, Darius walked with Brandon Miller, who he's known since high school and practiced with since high school, almost all the way back to the Charlotte bench while talking to him. And he said it was only friendly fire because they've known each other for so long, both going to high school in Nashville, Tennessee. And obviously, Darius is 3 years older than Brandon, so he's just really proud of what Brandon has been able to do this season. Even saying that he should be in the running for Rookie of the Year, I think he's crazy for saying that. Chet Holmgren and Victor Wembanyama are definitely 1 and 2. And I said those backwards. Victor Wembanyama more than likely will win Rookie of the Year this season if I were to decide who it was. But I think that was the moment that I realized how much fun the Cavs were having in tonight's game, because Darius was smiling and running around and doing whatever he wanted, basically. And then that kind of showed itself even further in the fourth quarter when he had 8 points in 2 minutes. And he was just hyping up the crowd and keeping people energized and running around doing the little airplane that he does when he's getting excited. It was a lot of fun to watch tonight, but we obviously have to come back to the point that this is the Charlotte Hornets. This is a game that they should have won and they needed as a pick-me-up. So they travel to Charlotte to play the Hornets again on Wednesday. And even though they're going to be on enemy territory, the Cavs expect and need to get another win against the Hornets, especially as the Eastern Conference standings really get down to the wire. The Cavs are currently 2.5 games behind the Milwaukee Bucks for second place in the Eastern Conference, and the New York Knicks, who beat the Pistons by 25 points tonight, are just a half game behind the Cavaliers, and Orlando, who plays their first game of the week on Wednesday, are just a game and a half back from the Cavaliers in fifth place, with the Indiana Pacers 4 games back in the sixth seed, and Miami and the 76ers only 4.5 games back in the seventh and eighth seed. It's really, really close. And I know Chris mentioned in yesterday's podcast that it's like a 99% chance that the Cavs don't fall to the play-in tournament. But obviously the Cavs need to avoid the New York Knicks at all costs. And staying in the three seed with the Indiana Pacers in the sixth seed is the best option for the Cavs, because that would mean that they would play them in their first round playoff matchup, and to me that is the best matchup for the Cavs in the Eastern Conference, because you don't know when Joel Embiid is going to come back. You don't want to play Miami in the postseason, and Orlando and New York seem like they are only heating up heading into the postseason. To end the month, the Cavs play the Hornets on Wednesday, the 76ers on Friday, and the Nuggets on Sunday. Not to mention, Joel Embiid returned to practice last week for the first time since January. His health is improving since his knee surgery last month. The Sixers are targeting his return for the first or second week of April, so that would mean that the Cavs would avoid playing Embiid to end the season, but they could potentially match up with them in the first round of the playoffs if the 76ers can rise through the standings and get to the sixth seed or work their way through the play-in tournament. Obviously, we know the track record for the Cavs versus the Heat. All time, the Cavs have a 51-79 record against the Heat, and the Cavs have a 16-50 record against the Heat all time on the road in Miami. So those two would be hard matchups for the Cavs, even though they have the interior presence of Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and also Marcus Morris Sr. being added to that mix as well, along with Tristan Thompson. And as we all know, the Cavs want to avoid the Knicks because of what happened last year, and they simply do not have the firepower to keep up with the New York Knicks. A matchup later in the postseason would be interesting to see what kind of tone the Cavs can set, also with their confidence being boosted after getting past the first round. But obviously, we want to talk about them getting to and past the first round first before we get into that. And then the Orlando Magic just have a scrappy and gritty team, and they're on the rise. So you don't really know what they're going to be able to bring with their young squad in the first round. And we've seen the Cavs able to have success against the Indiana Pacers. So that's why I say they would want to stay in that route. And I think people in the organization and the players would agree that that is the best matchup for them in the first round of the playoffs. But the Cavs are hopeful that they can win 6 of their last 10 games, finishing with 50 wins on the season, just a game shy of their 51 season last year. And also, J.B. Bickerstaff kind of hinted to the return of Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, and Dean Wade in a quote that he gave earlier today before the game against the Hornets. He said, quote, "We got some tough road games coming up. I think they'll be great tests for us and just great opportunities for our guys to be back and get that feeling of playing in an adverse environment." So, potentially, the Cavs could have one of, two of, or all of the guys back on this road trip that they're going to go on, where they go to Phoenix and then LA before coming back to face Memphis, Indiana, and the Hornets to end the season. That's a lot to look at, but with the tone that the Cavs were able to set tonight after Marcus Morris Sr. did what he did and how they were able to respond, it should give fans hope that this team is not one that is going to roll over as easily as they did last year. And I think they've shown that even before Marcus Morris Sr. got here this year. And I want to give props to Jared Allen, who has only missed the first 5 games of the season. And then even when he got hurt in the last road trip, he came back into the game knowing that they had multiple players out, and he is someone that they rely on. J.B. Bickerstaff has also said on multiple occasions that just knowing that Jared Allen is going to be on the court for them that night is something that makes him sleep easier, So there's a lot of dependability in Jared Allen and a lot of trust in Jared Allen. And I think he's been able to grow this season, not only physically, but mentally when dealing with adverse situations. And I think the Cavs are going to be able to show that in the playoffs. A lot of people have been counting the Cavs out. And I think every time the Cavs have been counted out, they've been able to prove people wrong. So maybe that's what they need going into the postseason. And everybody loves an underdog story. So we'll just have to wait and see, because we still got 10 games left in the regular season, 3 more this month, and 7 in the month of April. But with all that being said, that'll wrap up today's episode of the Wine and Gold Talk podcast. But remember to become a Cavs insider and interact with Chris and me by subscribing to Subtext. Sign up for a 14-day free trial or visit cleveland.com/Cavs and click on the blue bar at the top of the page. If you don't like it, that's fine. All you have to do is text the word stop. It's easy. But we can tell you that the people who sign up stick around, because this is the best way to get insider coverage on the Cavs from me and Chris. This isn't just our podcast, it's your podcast. And the only way to have your voice heard is through Subtext. Y'all be safe. We out.